chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, and no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are grass make the
secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got some very, very revealing expose type of information that we picked up from a lot of different interviews. And we're going to be making some comments and so forth as we, go through this. We're going to be playing an extended clip today. We just think it's too important not to include it in its entirety. It's with Dr. Judy Michalowicz, and it's her experiences in microbiology, helping to develop certain and identifying certain things that had to do with AIDS and HIV, and her work with Dr. Fauci. So here we go now with Dr. Michalowicz.
Dr. Judy Michalowicz has been called one of the most accomplished scientists of her generation. Her 1991 doctoral thesis revolutionized the treatment of HIV/AIDS. At the height of her career, Dr. Michalowicz published a blockbuster article in the journal Science. The controversial article sent shockwaves through the scientific community as it revealed that the common use of animal and human fetal tissues were unleashing devastating plagues of chronic diseases. For exposing their deadly secrets, the minions of Big Pharma waged war on Dr. Michalowicz, destroying her good name, career, and personal life. Now, as the fate of nations hang in the balance, Dr. Michalowicz is naming names of those behind the plague of corruption that places all human life in danger. So you made a discovery that conflicted with the agreed-upon narrative.
Correct.
And for that, they did everything in their powers to destroy your life.
Correct.
You were arrested.
Correct.
And then you were put under a gag order.
For 5 years, if I went on social media, if I said anything at all, they would find new evidence and put me back in jail. And it was one of the few times I cried, and it was because I knew there was no evidence the first time. And when you can unleash that kind of force to force someone into bankruptcy with a perfect credit score, and so that I couldn't bring my 97 witnesses, which included the heads, Tony Fauci, you know, Ian Lipkin, the heads of the public health and HHS, who would have had to testify that we did absolutely nothing wrong.
And so what did they charge you with?
Nothing.
But you were in jail.
I was held in jail with no charges. I was called a fugitive from justice. No warrant. Literally drugged me out of the house. Our neighbors are looking at what's going on here. You know, they searched my house without a warrant. Literally terrorized my husband for 5 days. They said, if you don't find the notebooks, if you don't find the material, which was not in my possession but planted in my house.
As if you took intellectual property from the laboratory. Is
yes.
that correct?
It was intended to appear as if I took confidential material, names, and intellectual property from the laboratory. And I could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that I didn't. Heads of our entire HHS colluded and destroyed my reputation, and the Department of Justice and the FBI sat on it and kept that case under seal, which means you can't say there's a case or your lawyers are held in contempt of court, so you can't even get a lawyer to defend you. So every single due process right was taken away from me, and to this day remains the same. I have no constitutional freedoms or rights.
Yet you sit here. I think a lot of people would probably have just taken the retirement out early, laid low, but you have decided to come forth when your gag order has been released to write a book called Plague of Corruption, Restoring Faith in the Promise of Science, and you are naming names.
Absolutely.
Apparently, their attempt to silence you has failed, and I have to ask, how do you sit here with confidence to call out these great forces and not fear for your life as you leave this building?
Because if we don't stop this now, we can not only forget our republic and our freedom, but we can forget humanity because we'll be killed by this agenda.
So, Anthony Fauci.
My name is Dr. Tony Fauci. I'm the director of
the man who is heading the pandemic task force was involved in a cover-up.
He directed the cover-up. And in fact, everybody else was paid off, and paid off big time. Millions of dollars in funding from Tony Fauci, Tony Fauci's organization, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. These investigators that committed the fraud continue to this day to be paid big time by the NIAID.
And the whole world is listening to his advice for how to handle this current pandemic. How do we know that what he's saying is what we need to be learning?
What he's saying is absolute propaganda, and the same kind of propaganda that he's perpetrated to kill millions since 1984.
We know from this study quite clearly that there will be a delay in progression significantly greater than for individuals who do not take the drug.
It started really when I was 25 years old. I was part of the team that isolated HIV from the saliva and blood of the patients from France, where Luc Montagnier had originally isolated the virus. This was a confirmatory study, but Tony Fauci and Robert Gallo were working together then to spin the story in a different way. At that time, Dr. Rossetti was out of town, and Tony Fauci says, we understand that you have a paper in press, and we want a copy of it. And I said, yes, there's a paper in press, and it's confidential, and no, I will not give you a copy of it. He started screaming at me, then he said, give us the paper right now, or you'll be fired for insubordination. And I just said, I'm sure when Dr. Rossetti gets back, you can have the conversation. And so Frank comes back, several weeks later, and is really bullied into giving Fauci the paper. Fauci holds up the publication of the paper for several months, while Robert Gallo writes his own paper and takes all the credit, and of course patents are involved. This delay of the confirmation, literally led to spreading the virus around, killing millions.
Perhaps no one expressed the anguish of AIDS better than New York writer Larry Kramer. But he was even more angry at the federal government and the pharmaceutical industry. One person who felt Kramer's fury was NIH Dr. Anthony Fauci.
He called Tony Fauci the Bernie Madoff of science. It's still been crushing to me to think that I didn't know my work in 1999 was something that had been avoided. From 83 and 82, when the virus was isolated, the virus didn't have to wait until 84 to be confirmed. Think of how many people, the entire continent of Africa, lost a generation as that virus was spread through because of the arrogance of a group of people, and it includes Robert Redfield, who's now the head of the CDC. Right along with Tony Fauci. They were working together to take credit and make money, and they had the patents on it and tailored them to IL-2 therapy, which was absolutely the wrong therapy. And had that not happened, millions wouldn't have died from HIV.
How can a man who's giving, any person who's giving global advice for health, own a patent in the solution in the vaccine? Isn't that a conflict of interest, or shouldn't it be?
It is a conflict of interest. And in fact, this is one of the things that I've been saying and would like to say to President Trump: repeal the Buy Dole Act.
Bayh-Dole fundamentally changed the way universities approach technology transfer, and you can see that best in the statistics. Universities obtain 16 times as many patents today as they did in 1980. Now, everybody's getting more patents, but still, universities' share of all patents in the United States is more than 5 times greater than it was before Bayh-Dole. The situation has gotten so bad that one information technology industry official has publicly referred to universities as, quote, crack addicts, unquote, driven by, quote, small-minded tech transfer offices addicted to patent royalties.
That act gave government workers the right to patent their discoveries, so to claim intellectual property for discoveries that the taxpayer paid for. Ever since that happened in the early 80s, it destroyed science, and this allowed the development of those conflicts of interest. And this is the crime behind letting somebody like Bill Gates with billions of dollars. Nobody elected him. He has no medical background. He has no expertise. But we let people like that have a voice in this country while we destroy the lives of millions of people.
Normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
If we activate mandatory vaccines globally, I imagine these people stand to make hundreds of billions of dollars that own the vaccines.
And they'll kill millions, as they already have with their vaccines. There is no vaccine currently on the schedule for any RNA virus that works.
So I have to ask you, are you anti-vaccine?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, vaccine is immune therapy, just like interferon alpha is immune therapy. So I'm not anti-vaccine. My job is to develop immune therapies. That's what vaccines are.
Do you believe that this virus was created in a laboratory?
I wouldn't use the word created, but you can't say naturally occurring if it was by way of the laboratory. So it's very clear this virus was manipulated, this family of viruses was manipulated and studied in a laboratory where the animals were taken into the laboratory, and this is what was released, whether deliberate or not. That cannot be naturally occurring. Somebody didn't go to a market, get a bat, the virus didn't jump directly to humans. That's not how it works. That's accelerated viral evolution. If it was a natural occurrence, it would take it up to 800 years to occur. This occurred from SARS-1 within a decade. That's not naturally occurring.
And do you have any ideas of where this occurred?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it occurred between the North Carolina laboratories, Fort Detrick, the U.S. Army Research Institute of Infectious Disease, and the Wuhan laboratory.
$3.7 million flowed from the National Institutes of Health here in the U.S. to the Wuhan lab in China, the same lab where many people have said that this coronavirus infection first originated. We also now know that NIAID, the department associated with the National Institutes of Health, of which Dr. Anthony Fauci is in control, had already been conducting experiments with the Wuhan lab in the past in regard to coronavirus. If Dr. Anthony Fauci cannot be honest with the public about his connection to this lab, then Fauci has to go.
In 1999, I was working in Fort Detrick in USAMRID there, and my job was to teach Ebola how to infect human cells without killing them. Ebola couldn't infect human cells until we took it in the laboratories and taught him.
It's hard to ignore the death tolls. People have been dying. They are dying from this in quite alarming numbers. How do you reconcile that?
It's pretty easy when you see, for me, when you see what the government has done, and that is that they took, quoting Dr. Birx,
"We've taken a very liberal approach to mortality.
If my husband were to die, who has COPD, his lungs have fibrosis, his lungs would look exactly like somebody with COVID-19, theoretically, but he has no evidence of infection. So if you're not testing and you don't have evidence of infection, and if he walked in there today, you know, they'd call it COVID-19. And we hear this from the doctors and nurses who are upset.
I've seen so many doctors online that have made their own webcam videos just perplexed by the protocol that the CDC had given them.
Well, last Friday I received a 7-page document that sort of told me that if I had an 86-year-old patient that had pneumonia but was never tested for COVID-19, but sometime after she came down with pneumonia, we learned that she had been exposed to her son who had no symptoms but later on was identified with COVID-19, that it would be appropriate to diagnose on the death certificate COVID-19.
When I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that? Why are we being pressured to add COVID to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is? I think so.
Why would they want to skew the number of deaths due to COVID-19?
Well, fear is a great way to control people. And sometimes people's ability to think for themselves is paralyzed if they're frightened enough. And that's not where I want people to be. I want people to say, we're going to get through this. I'm going to use my head. I'm going to go to different sources. I'm going to listen to different sources. And I'm going to think for myself, because that's what America's about.
If someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
You don't die with an infection. You die from an infection.
I've talked with doctors who have admitted that they are being incentivized to list patients that are sick or have died with COVID-19.
Yeah, $13,000 for Medicare, if you call it COVID-19.
Right now, Medicare has determined that if you have a COVID-19 admission to the hospital, you'll get paid $13,000. If that COVID-19 patient goes on a ventilator, you get $39,000, three times as much.
And you've killed them with the ventilator because you gave them the wrong treatment.
All the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue. And I fear that this misguided treatment will lead to a tremendous amount of harm to a great number of people in a very short time.
My next question is about Italy. I want to know why Italy was hit so hard.
Italy has a very old population. They're very sick with inflammatory disorders. They got, at the beginning of 2019, an untested new form of influenza vaccine that had four different strains of influenza, including the highly pathogenic H1N1. That vaccine was grown in a cell line, a dog cell line. Dogs have lots of coronaviruses, and that's why they're not testing there. You could just say, oh, it was that.
As the country begins emerging from the worst of the coronavirus epidemic, one question remains. What happened to all the hydroxychloroquine?
We know that hydrochloroquine and zinc are working great for patients. And then Fauci comes out and says, well, there's no double-blind controlled placebo study. Which, by the way, Dr. Fauci, is there going to be a double-blind controlled placebo study of your vaccine? Is there?
In a survey polling nearly 2,300 doctors in some 30 countries, hydroxychloroquine was ranked as the most effective medication to treat the virus.
The AMA was saying, you know, doctors will lose their license if they use hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malarial drug that's been on the list of essential medicine worldwide for 70 years. Dr. Fauci calls that anecdotal
data.
It's not storytelling if we have thousands of pages of data saying it's effective against these families of viruses. For 50 cents a dose, we could protect 1,000 people for 7 days, 2 doses a day, with one $600 vial. And that hasn't been done. This is essential medicine, and they keep it from the people. Not only now, but back in autism with our discovery, there was an old antiviral drug, 100-year-old drug called Suramin, on the WHO list of essential medicine. It literally gave kids with autism a voice, a life. What did Bayer and Monsanto do? They took it away from everybody. You couldn't get it to save your life right now. We tried, believe me, every way we could. So when you take away a medicine, in not just the not just the WHO, not just the WHO, the FDA, the CDC, Tony Fauci, close everything. Just end it all, and we've got a healthy world again, and we got tons of money because we can take all that money they're making on their patents and we can give it to the victims of this plague of corruption.
Is it safe to say that anything that cannot be patented has been shut down intentionally because there's no way to profit from it, all these natural remedies that we have had forever?
Absolutely, that's fair to say, and that's exactly what's going on in COVID-19. The game is to prevent the therapies till everyone is infected and push the vaccines, knowing that the flu vaccines increase the odds by 36% of getting COVID-19.
Where does that data come from?
A publication last year where the military who had been vaccinated with influenza were more susceptible to coronaviruses. Coronaviruses are in every animal. So if you've ever had a flu vaccine, you were injected with coronaviruses and then to put on a mask.
This doesn't make any sense. We wear masks in an acute setting to protect us. We're not wearing masks. Why is that? Because we understand microbiology, we understand immunology, and we want strong immune systems. Our immune system is used to touching. We share bacteria, staphylococcal, streptococcal bacteria, viruses. We develop an immune response daily to this stuff. When you take that away from me, my immune system drops. As I shelter in place, my immune system drops. You keep me there for months, it drops more. And now I'm at home, hand washing vigorously, washing the counters, worried about things that are indeed what I need to survive.
You're not immunodeficient, and you're not elderly. You should be able to go out without any gloves and without a mask. I think if you are those things, you should either shelter in place or wear a mask and gloves. I don't think everybody needs to wear a mask and gloves because it reduces your bacterial flora. It doesn't allow you to interact with society, and your bacteria flora and your viruses, your friends that protect you from other diseases, end up going away, and now you're more likely to get opportunistic infections, infections that are hoping you don't have your good bugs fighting for you, if that makes sense.
And then as we all come out of shelter in place with a lower immune system and start trading viruses and bacteria, what do you think is going to happen? Disease is going to spike.
I guarantee when we reopen, there's going to be a huge, huge amount of illness that's going to be rampant.
The building blocks of your immune system is virus and bacteria. End of story.
Wearing the mask literally activates your own virus. You're getting sick from your own reactivated coronavirus expressions. And if it happens to be SARS-CoV-2, then you've got a big problem.
You're not the first virologist who has told me that we're doing the exact opposite of what we should be doing to contain and to create immunity from this virus.
Why would you close the beach? You've got sequences in the soil, in the sand. You've got healing microbes in the ocean, in the salt water. That's insanity.
These institutions that are polluting our environment and our bodies, there was a time when they actually had to fight their own battles. But they've done such a great job at manipulating the masses that it's other people shutting down other citizens, and the big tech platforms follow suit and they shut everything down. There is no dissenting voices allowed anymore in this free country, which is something I never thought I would live to see.
Nor would I, except what I've experienced since 2011. It's beyond comprehension how a society can be so fooled that the types of propaganda continue to where they're just driving us to hate each other.
You want to go to work?
Yes.
To get this disease? I think the medical profession know what they're
talking
about.
They've been wrong so far, ma'am. They've been wrong.
Hopefully, this is the wake-up call of all America to realize this makes no sense, and we win because it will take down the whole program with information like this. And for me, it's the great news that the doctors are waking up and saying, wait a minute.
You doctors that are watching this, and I see a lot of you right here, why are you not getting loud? I'm here to defend you. I'm here to defend my freedoms. I'm here to defend my family's freedoms, my patients' rights to choose what to do with their life. I'm just blown away. And I'm blown away why there are not more doctors like me talking about this all over the place. We should be banding together right now. You need to wake up because your liberties are getting taken away from you all because of fake news that's out there. This is wrong. People should be going to jail for this stuff.
So it's not the scientists who are in any way dishonest. They're listening to people who for more than 40 years have controlled who gets funded, what gets published. And I'm sorry to say many, many people will simply take the money and the fame and that support, things that absolutely aren't true.
What do you say to the medical professionals that are just beginning to get a glimpse of the depth to which they have been misled and steered away from their oath to do no harm?
I say forgive yourselves. It's the hardest thing to realize for all of us, and is that with all the best intention, we studied, we learned what we thought was the truth. We had no idea that the data that we were being told was true was not true. We've been taught now in our schools a very different science. You don't get funded if you don't speak the party line. You don't get published. That was probably the hardest thing for me to take, is understanding that scientific journals would twist the discovery that should have healed all.
Will the scientific community have the courage to answer the question of whether these diseases might have been of their own creation? Thank you.
So what we did pretty much ever since I got out of jail, we started an education company. We wake up doctors, and it's very difficult. But every doctor who realized they may have been part of the problem has now turned that around to march toward a better society and restore faith in the promise of medicine. That's all we can do.
Well, Dr. Michovitz, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real honor to sit here with you, and particularly thank you for your courage.
Thank you, Mickey. I appreciate it a lot.
The idea that we are now a few days away from a new administration, given, as you heard from the introduction, that I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today, is that there is no question that there will be a surprise outbreak. The thing we're extraordinarily confident about is that we are going to see this in the next few years. Thank you.
What is happening out there right now is you have a patriot movement that is sick and tired of this lockdown that has occurred because of the coronavirus crisis. On the other hand, you have these medical, you could say, professionals that have been part of the American Medical Association model, you could say. And their idea is allopathic. You treat symptoms. While the other side, the patriot and other people, have come up with alternative treatments, see, for different kinds of illnesses and so forth. At the turn of the century, 1900, homeopathic was the primary, you could say, vehicle and treatment techniques of most doctors in the United States. Then along comes John D. Rockefeller and his gushers and his oil of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of wealth. And he created a system of allopathic medicine. And Death by Injection is an excellent book. You can find it on the web for free. But go out and read that. And that tells you some of the history of what happened in this building, this modern medical model, which is allopathic. You treat the symptoms. But along with that was the pharmaceutical giant's growth at the same time. That's what Dr. Judy Michovitz was up against in this earlier interview, was they came in and utterly destroyed her career and so forth. And she's fighting back now. And more doctors are out there, and they're waking up to all of these problems. That what has happened is that The Rockefellers put together a system, you could say, of conditioning people by the medical schools into an allopathic drug solves everything type of treatment. And that's basically what we've come up with as treatment. My sister, who's gone now, was a med tech, and then also my second brother-in-law was an MD. And of course, they gave me some insights and so forth, but they in turn were trained by the modern medical model, and my brother-in-law wouldn't even join the AMA. He did mostly work for state agencies here in Texas, and my sister did work at the university before she retired at the Student Health Center out there. But she also had lab experience and administrative experience and so forth. But she wasn't totally sold on this modern medical model either, but more so than you could say some patriot types of people. Coming up is Dr. Pechenik, interviewed by Alex Jones. And what is really insightful about Pechenik was he graduated from Harvard, not only as in psychiatry, but as an MD. So he had, and then he went to work for the intelligence agencies, and he started, you could say, going into hostage situations and very, very volatile situations and cathexing those and building those down. So here's what he had to say about what's been going on with this battle, you could say, against Trump. And then we're going to play a clip after that of Ivan Franklin, who was an associate of General Flynn. And we'll expose to the public here, listening audience, what he believes was the reason why they went after General Flynn. But first, this is a Dr. Pechenik interview and Alex Jones. Here we go now.
This is where we are right now. Is there an attempt to overthrow Trump? There is. Will it succeed? No. Because the body politic of America understands very well. I told you where the power centers are. The South, Southwest, the Midwest. We would not tolerate any attempt by the Democrats or the major cities to take over the power. What you see is the eventual death of bureaucracy, Pelosi, Fauci.
So you're saying their attempt to hijack us and hold us hostage, you believe is going to blow up in their face and bring them down?
Self-destructive, Alex. I said it 6 months ago. Now Trump understands we have to move fast. Let me explain something to you. America is fundamentally a republic based on American values that you and I know. It's the Second Amendment. It's the First Amendment.
And aren't you saying we have to end the Democratic Party and create a new second party? The Democratic Party is a criminal, anti-American, just cesspit. I don't see how that party has to be gotten rid of.
You want to know? You don't have to do it. It's like having a cesspool, and you just let the cesspool fester there.
We are now into hour number three today. Dr. Steve Pechenik is going to be joining us here in a moment. But I wanted to play this clip again of the president talking about human scum, criminal elements of the globalist deep state, trying to overthrow the election and President Trump, and how it's all starting to come out. And Comey putting out this tweet to his people saying, stay in place, keep the overthrow going, stop the American people. It's just so criminal. And then they've still got stay behind networks in the FBI beavering away, trying to bring down President Trump and those that are seen as his most ardent supporters. This is a campaign of terrorism, racketeering, in my view, going on by the Democratic Party and their operatives masquerading as government agents. Here's the president yesterday talking about it.
Get your reaction to some breaking news. The Justice Department has decided to dismiss the case against Michael Flynn. Are you aware of that?
I didn't know that was happening at this moment. I felt it was going to happen just by watching and seeing like everybody else does. He was an innocent man. He is a great gentleman. He was targeted by the Obama administration. And he was targeted in order to try and take down a president. And what they've done is a disgrace, and I hope a big price is going to be paid. A big price should be paid. There's never been anything like this in the history of our country. What they did, what the Obama administration did, is unprecedented. It's never happened. Never happened. A thing like this has never happened before in the history of our country. And I hope a lot of people are going to pay a big price because they're dishonest, crooked people. They're scum. And I say it a lot. They're scum. They're human scum. This should never have happened in this country. A duly elected president. And they went after him by going after fine people. And those fine people said, no, I'm not going to lie. I can't lie. He's not the only one. There are many of them. And they all said, I can't lie. They could have said something like, oh, make up a lie. Trump loves somebody or something or some country. And they said, no, you wouldn't have any problem. That's what they were trying to do. And it's a disgrace. The Obama administration, Justice Department was a disgrace. And they got caught. They got caught. Very dishonest people. But much more than dishonest. It's treason. It's treason.
It's treason, which it is. And they even had a former CIA agent who's a Democrat on. Maybe cue that up for next segment, saying that Comey, if found guilty, needs to be executed. All I know is I don't want anybody to get executed. I want them to stop trying to overthrow the election and set up a police state. Here, that's what I want. Dr. Steve Pachinik of StevePachinik.com is a best-selling author, co-wrote books with Tom Clancy as one of his main sources. Of course, it is psychological warfare. The State Department ran a lot of the most famous kidnapping and hostage situations, and he's done psychological warfare operations and regime change. And he's an MD and PhD and an American psychiatrist from the State Department official. And he also came on the broadcast first 12 weeks ago and said COVID's already been here since last year. That's now confirmed. And so here to cover the waterfront is Dr. Steve Pachinik. I could ask a lot of questions, go a lot of places, but first off, it looks like we're in a civil war with the deep state. They're not stopping. They're not going away. What do you see happening in the next few weeks and months, Dr. Pachinik?
Well, let me put it this way. Number one, it's not as desperate as you might think. Flynn was released because I and others in military intelligence said months ago, and I said it in your show and in other shows, under no condition will Flynn be incarcerated for anything. In other words, what was coming out is the fact that military veterans would not allow this to happen. A message got through to the Department of Justice, in particular Barr, who's been in the CIA, understands exactly what we were saying from a military point of view. This will not be tolerated under any condition. Flynn was subsequently exonerated. Secondly, we in the military and the intelligence community support Trump. There's no question if, and, and but. But what's happened since you and I have talked, and I said from the beginning in January, we had to get rid of Fauci, we had to get rid of CDC, and this was a coronavirus where I had the pneumonia, other people already had it, and the system was broken. But let me go into more specifics. You've been called to New York. I have been banned by certain people. Four power centers arose very quickly in the United States, none of which anybody understood. One was Nancy Pelosi, totally accumulated power without bringing the House of Representatives together. She has been the most powerful speaker in the United States. Not one congressman has shown up. Secondly, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York State. Thirdly, Blasio, both saying that we will have vaccines, we will have martial law. And lastly, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Gallo. What do we have in common? I'm not a racist. All of them are Italians. All of them came from what we call the Italian fascist background. Nancy was born of a father who was ruthless, and I knew of him in Baltimore. Tony was born of a middle-class family, but was trained by the Jesuits to be ruthless, manipulative. There's no accident that Tony and I were friends in the beginning, but then when I provided $16 million for the AIDS examination under Henry Waxman, Tony went out and self-promoted himself. I have never seen a doctor, forget he's not a scientist, he was not trained at Harvard or MIT in science. He knows nothing about science. He's just a simple medical doctor who was pretty good as a clinician. But in terms of Machiavelli, he can equal Nancy Pelosi, Benito Mussolini. He has under his auspices talked to every reporter, every media, constantly, as if this were Benito Mussolini saying to you, we're going to unify, but you can't go outside, because if you go outside, you're going to kill other people. Nonsense. That was absolute nonsense. And the henchmen in New York State, you had Cuomo giving you advice and psychotherapy while his brother, an idiot, was in the basement. And de Blasio, another idiot, basically said, everybody here will be remain in the house. There will be no people going out. What happened is the four power centers came up and defied President Trump. Those power centers, by chance, are also Democratic. By chance, they've been there 20 to 30 years, and Trump has done the best he could. Everybody was criticizing Kushner. No, he did the best that he could with what he had. Everybody was criticizing Pompeo. By the way, he is Italian, but he's done a great job. We have a great Italian governor in Florida who knew exactly when to release the people from protection in house sitting. And this is where we are right now. Is there an attempt to overthrow Trump? There is. Will it succeed? No. Because the body politic of America understands very well. I told you where the power centers are, the South, Southwest, the Midwest. We would not tolerate any attempt by the Democrats or the major cities to take over the power. As it is now, I want to take away the powers from Pelosi, from Fauci. I have asked for months that Fauci not be put in the presence. I have asked for months that de Blasio and Cuomo be restricted. They will defy Trump. But at present, no. It's mobilized all of us veterans. It's mobilized all of us in the intelligence community to say, you're not going to take down Trump. If anything, he's going to be reelected. Here you have Biden, totally senile. And then he has to pick a vice president. Let's see what happens.
Stay right there. You were on here 10 months ago when I got banned again on Facebook, when they banned even saying nice things about me was the new ban. They said Attack Alex Jones was the new ban. You said he's clearly having dementia. Well, now everyone admits that. When we come back, I want to talk about how you see the election playing out, other tricks that the globalist deep state ally with China might take, Trump really getting on a war footing with China. I think that's a positive thing. And really leveling with the American people about what we're facing. I know you're confident. That's great. You know, because confidence, you know, breeds confidence. But I got to tell you, the Democrats in the deep state behind the scenes are just reckless. And even if they're going to be defeated, they can't just be allowed like loose cannons to continue to try to blow the country up, in my view.
There are dangerous undercurrents out here in this society today. And that was Pachinik in his view. He's optimistic about Trump being reelected. Ivan Franklin, who was an associate with General Flynn and worked with him on different levels of government, had this to say about the reasons why they got rid of Flynn. And he was just too much on the patriot side and began to see, the deep state began to see him as an enemy. And I believe the deep state early on got rid of Steve Bannon and General Flynn early on because they viewed those people as arch enemies. Even though some people don't speak well of Steve Bannon, he's got some great insights coming out of Breitbart. But anyway, this is what Ivan Franklin had to say about the reason why they went after General Flynn. Here we go now.
One of the folks that works with General Flynn, with him at the Defense Intelligence Agency, they're now out of the Defense Intelligence Agency and in the American Intelligence Agency called the We the People. And he's going to give us his take on what's happened and where the general goes next. Is he going on offense? And please don't forget, well, President Trump came out yesterday and called Comey and the criminal leftist Soros cabal inside the FBI trying to overthrow the election of 2016, knowing President Trump was innocent of any Russian collusion, knowing that General Flynn was a loyal war hero and an American patriot who got into the military to defend this country. Trump called them human scum. Here's the president.
Get your reaction to some breaking news. The Justice Department has decided to dismiss the case against Michael Flynn. Are you aware of that?
I didn't know that was happening at this moment. I felt it was going to happen just by watching and seeing like everybody else does. He was an innocent man. He is a great gentleman. He was targeted by the Obama administration, and he was targeted in order to try and take down a president. And what they've done is a disgrace, and I hope a big price is going to be paid. A big price should be paid. There's never been anything like this in the history of our country. What they did, what the Obama administration did, is unprecedented. It's never happened. Never happened. A thing like this has never happened before in the history of our country. And I hope a lot of people are going to pay a big price because they're dishonest, crooked people. They're scum. And I say it a lot. They're scum. They're human scum. This should never have happened in this country. A duly elected president. And they went after him by going after fine people. And those fine people said, no, I'm not going to lie. I can't lie. He's not the only one. There are many of them. And they all said, I can't lie. They could have said something like, oh, make up a lie. Trump loves somebody or something or some country. And they said, oh, you wouldn't have any problem. That's what they were trying to do. And it's a disgrace. The Obama administration, Justice Department was a disgrace. And they got caught. They got caught. Very dishonest people. But much more than this. It's treason. It's treason.
So, now we have an article up on Infowars.com. Now that Michael Flynn is free, Trump may attempt to push the Russiagate and punish the Russiagate conspirators. But now Comey has come out directing their stay-behind network, so Moles still in the DOJ. He says the DOJ has lost its way, but career people, please stay, because America needs you. The country's hungry for honest, confident leaders. But it wasn't honest how they went after General Flynn and threatened General Flynn's son if he didn't say he was guilty, an old authoritarian tactic. Ivan Raiklin has been on the show before. He's been at some of our events and spoken, at the one where General Flynn's son spoke a few months ago in D.C. He's a former Green Beret, recovering lawyer, ultra-marathoner, operating the intersection of national security startups, politics, and law. He is general counsel at Yippie.com, and he is at Twitter at R-A-I-K-L-I-N. So, Ivan, thanks for coming on with us. Where do you want to start? I know you're friends with the general, friends with his family. You know a lot of the inside baseball. Can't get into all of it here, but this is a big deal. What are your observations? What are little birdies out there telling you that's going to happen next?
Now, first off, I mean, yesterday was a glorious day. I just want to say that. Finally, we can have a little bit of faith that the wheels of justice are turning in the right direction. Most of it thankful to Sidney Powell, who is General Flynn's attorney. As far as what's kind of going on, I mean, a lot has been going on the last week. We've had a lot of motions and a lot of documents that have been disclosed to the public that were previously under seal. And you know, a lot of people are still digesting those. One of the big things that came out yesterday, in addition to what the Department of Justice filed a motion for, which was to withdraw their intention to prosecute General Flynn, the other piece was the DNI, Rick Grenell, disclosed 53, I think it was, transcripts from the Russia investigation that was spearheaded by Adam Schiff. So all these things, I mentioned these things just to say that there are a lot of, all of it really overlaps. And we're going to start to see the unraveling of how everybody at the senior levels within the FBI, the Department of Justice, and National Security Council, and up at the White House during the Biden-Obama administration were all involved in ensuring their insurance policy was going to come to fruition. Fortunately, the freedom fighters that were, the incoming administration, we had enough people to be able to push back on that. And that's what we're starting to see now. So the first 3.5 years was essentially defensive in nature. And then as of yesterday, my prediction is that we will be going into complete, more than nuclear option offense. So expect that. When I say that, from a legal perspective.
That's right. And, of course, you are a lawyer. You also were at the Defense Intelligence Agency, I guess, when Flynn was there as well. But you can't get into all of that. Why were they so scared of Flynn? I mean, we now know from a lot of the documents they thought that he was that Trump would then have somebody that would bring in a group of pro-Americans that would kick the Chi-Coms out.
So I say this, I mean, President Obama appointed General Flynn twice during his administration to senior posts confirmed by the Senate. Last one being the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. And as you can imagine, as a director of one of the 17 intel agencies, the one that actually leads the entire defense intelligence enterprise, he is privy to information that most people are not, many people are not, to include the insights of the Obama administration. Now, as we, you know, viewers and you of the show know, during that time we had, 2014, when he was the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, that's when the Ukraine crisis kicked off. So right after the Ukraine crisis thing kicks off, you have Joe Biden along with John Brennan heading over to Ukraine to try to resolve or help Ukraine in their situation. And then the result of that is they send Joe Biden sends his son to go ahead and advise Burisma on how to, in unconventional ways, improve their economy by helping out with their natural gas sector. And I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was advising them on how to snort coke. It seems to me that that's what he's good at. Maybe he has a high tolerance for inhaling of different chemicals. Maybe he was advising on how to inhale natural gas in a certain way. I don't know. His expertise obviously wasn't.
So that's another reason Obama was so freaked out, is that as the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency that actually was running real operations, not just sitting around like some of the other agencies, and had knowledge of what was really going on internationally, and had access to all the other 16 agencies.
Anything military related, he would have visibility on. Ukraine crisis, and then it transitioned later into that summer where ISIS started to run roughshod over northern Iraq. And the main reason why he was resigned, whatever you want to call it, is that he was speaking truth to power in the sense that, you know, ISIS, the fundamental Islamist threat, was out there to retake Iraq. And it was Obama's policies that...
That's right. He warned right before the whole Arab Spring what was about to happen.
So... with that, as he was pushing back on the administration, because the previous administration didn't want to hear anything about the failures of what was going on with the policy of pulling all troops out of Iraq, he was released. And then a few months later, I can't recall exactly, but he had a meeting with now President Trump at Trump Tower, asking him, if you're serious about running, I'm a serious guy. And President Trump convinced General Flynn that he was also serious and he was on board. And I think that was really the initial trigger point that infuriated Obama, of being a director of Defense Intelligence Agency moving over to support a president that supports the America First agenda. And he backed him, and that's what infuriated Obama. And I think what really probably tipped things to where Crossfire Hurricane and all these different deep state actions occurred within the legal context was at the National Convention in 2016, when folks in the crowd started chanting "Lock her up," and General Flynn acknowledged that. And I think that was the point in time, and I'm guessing, educated guess, that that's when the deep state started to go after Flynn in a substantive legal manner by using all of the resources available to the Department of Justice and FBI.
Now, that's what Ivan Franklin was saying, was that when he chimed in on Lock This Up at that national convention, then he says that they decided to really go after General Flynn. And James Comey sent a couple of FBI agents in there just off the wall, you know, without it much prior, you know, acknowledgement or, you know what I mean, announcements to the White House, just to see and talk to General Flynn, but they were actually had him as a target and under investigation. So that was really underhanded by James Comey. Now, there are certain people that have been watching this unfold for the last 2 years or so. And Sean Hannity has had some of the really bright people. Gray Jarrett is one. John Solomon, Sarah Carter. They have, and then he's had all kinds of different representatives. When they were in control of the House, and then, of course, now that they're out of control. And there has been just an ample amount of evidence. Sometimes it's anecdotal, but now these recent transcripts that were released, then was forced to release they forced Adam Schiff to release those, is showing that there was never any cause or just cause or just reason to even investigate Trump about this trumped up hoax that he was involved with the Russians. If any was involved with the Russians, it was Hillary and her gang. And that's who went after Trump with the same accusations. In other words, if you're guilty of it, throw it on your enemy. Start accusing them of what you're guilty of. And that's really what's been going on there. There is one thing about General Flynn that has not been widely spoken about or talked about, is that the Justice Department, Department of Justice, has decided to drop any further prosecution of Flynn. But Flynn is still subject to that judge, to that federal judge, hearing this motion by the Department of Justice, and then he'll have to rule on that. Now, we don't think that judge is going to rule against General Flynn. If he did, that'd be all hell to pay. That judge would be impeached if they could, but they got the House under control, so that's not going to happen. And then Pelosi is in there saying all kinds of dreadful things. And then James Comey is tweeting up there that just stay in your place, loyal people in the Justice Department. We need you to there to for truth and all that. So diabolical and so hypocritical. But that's what the deep state has been doing with Trump. Now, Trump has had his problems. He's very, very ego-based and self-centered. But he does fight back, and he goes after these people. And you've got to respect and admire the man for his fighting, ability. He won't let these people just roll over him easily. He does fight for what, you know, for himself to survive and so forth. So I believe that, a lot of people out here that are his supporters, and I support Trump, and I'll vote for him on this next election in November, on November 3rd, I think it is. But I don't like everything he's done. But I do like half of what he's done, half of what he's done I don't like. But as far as being upright and a forthright person, Trump is there. Trump is who he says he is. At least he's much better at presenting himself than Obama. Obama was a sly one. And it looks like many of these transcripts and all this new testimony coming out is pointing more and more towards Barack Obama as being behind, possibly, and I'm saying possibly because there's not total proof on this yet, but there's a tremendous amount of circumstantial evidence that says that Barack Obama was behind much of this attack on President Trump. And this started happening, but the intelligence agencies were in there also helping to get rid of Trump. Nobody wanted Trump. He was a loose cannon. He didn't play ball with them that much. He got rid of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement immediately after he went in. He was, inaugurated on the day of inauguration. He went and signed the executive order, got rid of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. Boy, they didn't like him then. And then they started going after key people that they knew that were adamantly against them and that would reveal much of their problems. And General Flynn had investigated them and was beginning, and along with Steve Bannon, he knows a lot about them also. But some people are critical of what Steve Bannon has done, but I've listened to some of his interviews and he's spot on. He's right on with much of his insight. I want to thank everyone out there for listening. God bless each and every one of you, and thank you very much, and have a good weekend. Good night.